And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana University basketball news and discussion. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Podcast on the Brink is a joint production of the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. For complete coverage of IU basketball, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com. On this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink, Alex Bozich and I are joined by Rick Bozich from WDRB in Louisville to reflect on a most memorable day in New Albany as Romeo Langford has committed to Indiana. At what point did Rick feel any sense of certainty that it was going to go Indiana's way, if at all, during the ceremony? What does it mean for Indiana on the court next year? What can it mean big picture for the Hoosiers? And then some reflections from Rick of talking with people around New Albany for what Romeo has meant to that community. All of that and more on this week's edition of Podcast on the Brink. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There is nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, have had it for a couple of years now, and it is by far the easiest way that I have found to shop for tickets because I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I would love to use the SeatGeek app to pick up Mavericks playoff tickets this year and see Yogi, but obviously the Mavericks are not in the playoffs. But if you're in Indiana and you want to watch Victor, you want to watch Eric Gordon with Houston, or you want to watch OG with Toronto, or any other NBA playoff games, or any baseball games during the summer, SeatGeek is the way to go because SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals so that you don't have to go through all that legwork yourself. And best of all, listeners to Podcast on the Brink, like you, get $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code BRINK, B-R-I-N-K, today. That is promo code BRINK for $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. And we are joined this week on Podcast on the Brink by Rick Bozich from WDRB in Louisville. And Rick, quite a day yesterday in New Albany. You have obviously, you know, followed this, the Romeo Langford announcement, the Romeo Langford recruitment up close, you know, from the angle of Louisville, from Kentucky, and obviously from Indiana, all three schools involved at one point or another. How does it feel now that the decision has actually been made? And while there was a certain sense of inevitability yesterday about him picking Indiana, that wasn't really the case all along in this recruitment. So how does it feel now the decision has been made? And what are your thoughts on it ultimately being Indiana after where this recruitment seemed like it was 12, 13 months ago?
Wow. Well, thanks for having me, first of all, too, Alex. Now that it's over, I guess, and having spent time, a lot of time, really, the last couple of weeks in Southern Indiana working on some Romeo stories, there was definitely a sense over there from everybody that, and Eric Crawford and I went over there and talked to people of, I don't know, anticipation, concern, excitement of how this was going to turn out. There was some skepticism, I think, that he would actually commit to Indiana. People were, you know, thinking about it and getting excited about it, but I don't think anybody was at the point where saying, yeah, it's absolutely going to get done. And I think because he did commit to Indiana, I think for a lot of the people that I saw and have talked to who are IU fans, that there's in some ways enough to be relief, but it was just sort of an opportunity to exhale because it's gone on for so long. And then from the standpoint that he's actually there and in the context of this area, I mean, a year ago, if we would have had this podcast and talked about Romeo going to IU, and if you would have thrown Kentucky and Louisville into the mix, I would have said Indiana's probably the third most likely place in that group to get him, because a year ago at this time, I don't know if it had been announced that he was going to play for John Calipari on that 18 and under team, but it was right around this time, and at that point is when the narrative had swung from sort of, yeah, it's going to be Duke or maybe Carolina, to it was going to be Kentucky, because he was going to be on that team with, was it Quigley and who's the guy that went to end up going, Lewis King and some of these dudes, and it was all going to be that he was going to bond with John Calipari and be another one of the top 10 one-and-done guys who went to UK.
At what point yesterday during the ceremony, if at all, before he actually put on the hat and announced that he was going to Indiana, did you feel any level of certainty that he was going to pick IU? Because like you said, I mean, a lot of people kind of felt it going that way. But was there any point during the ceremony that you kind of felt, okay, this is going to go in IU's favor?
Well, I mean, as you know, I used to live in New Albany, former New Albany season ticket holder, know a lot of people there, talk to, you know, teachers from New Albany High School and, you know, New Albany Elementary Schools. I talked to Don Under, the AD, Jim Shannon, a bunch of people, Lee Kelly, before the whole thing. And most of them, I don't think, did know. And I don't believe they did know. I think Romeo and his family did a good job of keeping it quiet. And most of them thought they thought it would be IU, but they weren't certain. And I had actually talked to a coach that I respect over the weekend who told me that here the Kansas had really made some inroads or, you know, had gained back momentum. And so I really, until he actually grabbed the hat and put it on his head, I wasn't sure that it was Indiana.
You mentioned going around New Albany and talking to different people. Could you get a sense of just how he has impacted the community and just how big of a star, I guess, he is locally from talking to people? Did people's faces light up when you mentioned his name? And just overall, I mean, I know a lot of people saw your TV story, but I'm just curious what it was like when you went around and talked to people and if there was anything that really stood out from those conversations.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago, I think it was on, it might have been Wednesday or Thursday, Eric Crawford and I went over there just with, you know, our tape recorders and his camera and started talking to people to see who would be good people for the TV story. When I actually went back with a news photographer the following week, and we started out at Kratz Sporting Goods store in Clarksville. And, you know, there was Alan Krebs, the owner of the place, whose son's on the New Albany JV team, and they're the ones who were had sold like more than 100 of those New Albany number one jerseys. And when they saw we were in there, two or three other people that worked in the store came out and talked to us, and they were all in. And there was a woman worked there, I think her name was Diane Steinert. Her family used to own Steinert's bar in New Albany, and she said that when people, Kratz sells a lot of uniforms and equipment to schools all across the state of Indiana, and said that like when ADs or would call from schools, even as far north from Indianapolis, when Romeo was like a freshman or sophomore, and they'd say, have you know this Romeo Langford kid? And, you know, is he really that good? And where's he going to go? So, I mean, it's a big topic of conversation, has been for a long time. Then we went to that Hoopsters bar in Jeffersonville, which is a hardcore Jeff place. They've got Mike Flynn and Sharon Wilkerson's Mr. Basketball jerseys up in that place. The owner is Phil Caldwell, who's an assistant coach at Jeffersonville. And as you guys know, I mean, Jeff and New Albany are big time rivals. It's sort of like an IU Purdue thing. But again, obsessive Romeo talk. Then we went to the Body Shop in Clarksville, which is closer to New Albany, which that guy, Brian Couch, was the first guy to put a Romeo sign out on his place. And he said that people would drive by on Blackstone Mill Road and honk all the time. And then we went to Wendy's because a friend of mine told me there was a couple of old guys that worked in Wendy's in New Albany who were big Romeo fans and went to the game. And Romeo's sister used to work there, and we talked to him. And he recognized us and came down and sat back with us and wanted to talk about it. And then we went to the barbershop where Romeo used to get his haircut. So like every place we went, everybody was talking about it. And as you know, I mean, New Albany is a very strong and proud high school basketball program, which has had this year, I think they had 3,400 season ticket holders, but I mean, they've had 2,000 to 3,000 season ticket holders for years and years and years. And, you know, we used to have them, and that to have a program with that much tradition, then have a player who, as good as New Albany's been, become their first Mr. Basketball, and then have him go to IU. And that's a big deal.
What do you think it ultimately was that sold Romeo on Indiana being the best spot for him? Because in your column that you wrote for WDRB, you mentioned all the different places along the way that people said it was a done deal he was going to go. And, you know, we all know that Indiana probably wasn't going to be his choice if there wasn't the coaching change. And a lot of things had to go Indiana's way to get to this point. But what do you think, maybe just from talking to him last night or talking to different people after the announcement last night, what do you think it was that ultimately led him to pick Indiana?
I think it wasn't one thing. I think it was probably a little bit of a lot of things. You know, the one thing was that, you know, Duke, for whatever reason, moved on, and he and Cal didn't really click, and Louisville had its issues, and Carolina, I don't know what really happened there, but they were all in, and then they were out, and on and on and on. And at Indiana, I think he connected with Ed Schilling. He mentioned him about, I think he probably talked to people that Ed Schilling has coached, not only at UCLA, but up in Indianapolis when he was at Park Tudor. And then he also worked guys out and really got confirmation from a lot of people that he really was a good developer of talent. I think his mom mentioned that she connected with Tom Ostrom, Archie Miller's number one assistant coach. And I think they watched Indiana play last year and saw there really was organization to what they were doing. There was a plan and a system, and saw that the team did improve as the season went along. And I think he also saw that there was a void on that team that he really was the ideal person to step into, because they need a scorer, and he's that, and they need a shooter, and they need a two guard. I mean, if you could say there's one recruit out there that they really needed, he would be the one you would pick, I think, of anybody available this year among the high school players. And then he mentioned, and I'm sure you know, he mentioned that Hoosier Hysteria is one thing, and you go there and it's really an exhibition and people chant your name. That didn't really, I don't think, resonate with him. But he went up without his dad for the Northwestern game and sat right behind the bench, and dad told him, I want you to sit there and really watch how they coach the team. And he said he thought, you know, that he liked the way that they coached the team. So it's probably a lot of other factors too. I'm sure there was a million conversations on the phone where he had questions and things to ask, and who knows the other recruits in the class, what impact they had, but for whatever reason, it, you know, just moved in that direction, and he committed to Indiana.
Rick, as we start looking ahead to next year for what we all presume will be the one and only season for Romeo Langford in college, what do you think is fair to expect for next year's roster? And for the sake of conversation, let's assume that the Juwan Morgan comes back for his senior year. Obviously, if he doesn't, that will change the equation. But what do you think is fair to expect? And what do you think is the possible ceiling for this team with Romeo Langford?
Yeah, I've heard you guys talk about this, what, top four in the Big Ten and stuff like that. I mean, it's hard for me to judge the Big Ten until I really know everybody who's going to be back, but it does seem like the Big Ten, which was already down this year, is going to be, you know, down again. I would think Michigan State, even after losing Bridges and Jackson, just because they do have other veteran guys, they have decent guards coming back with, what, McQuaid and Winston and those guys, and Nick Ward still kind of a force. And Izzo's been around for so long, it has a system, their kind of default pick to pick in the Big Ten when you can't pick anybody else the way it used to be Wisconsin. But, you know, after them, I mean, I would say if all goes well and it fits together the way it, you know, it's projected to fit together, they should really be up there with any of their other teams. I mean, they've got an issue at point guard. I think that they have to, you know, either get Devontae Green or Finney, it'd be a consistent winning level point guard. And they're counting on a lot of young guys, but when you got Morgan back and you got McRoberts back and Justin Smith should take a step forward, and you don't really know what the, you know, Dron Davis, how to project him, because an Achilles injury is difficult or tricky to project off of. But the pieces are there for them to have a pretty high ceiling of being, you know, I'd say the ceiling, I'd say, would be, you know, probably second in the Big Ten, and the floor would be, and they got, they were, what were they this year? Sixth with the group they had. I mean, I would think they could be, the floor would have to be fifth. I mean, they got to be better than that.
And what do you think in terms of Romeo? I mean, expecting from him on an individual level, because we have seen, you know, some supernova freshman seasons. You know, you go back to 2003 with Carmelo Anthony and what he did, and you think back just to last year, you know, what Trae Young did, kind of putting that Oklahoma team on his back. And, you know, obviously he faded toward the end of the year, but you kind of saw what he could do with an extreme usage rate. And it certainly feels like the opportunity is there for Romeo to play a lot of minutes, get a lot of possessions, and get a lot of shots. What do you think is fair to expect from him individually?
Wow. I think he'll probably be a 26 to 30 minute a game guy. I would think he could average, you know, 13 to 17. I mean, a lot of people try to make the comparison, I guess, to Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon seemed more physically mature. He had kind of a man's body even when he was in high school. And I think Romeo still needs to, he's longer and you know, taller, and his arms are longer and stuff, and he does some things differently than Gordon. But Gordon was just so physically strong that I think he came into college ready to play like a man, and I think Romeo has to work on that some. But I could definitely see him being a, you know, 12, 13 to as high as 17 points per game guy, but you never know that. I mean, some guys don't adjust immediately and to the physicality and the longer season and all those things in college basketball. So that's the unknown. I mean, we've all seen recruits that have come in to Indiana who were highly touted, you know, Bracy Wright. I think he wasn't as high as Romeo, but Andre Patterson, I go back to that level, Delray Brooks. I mean, there've been some guys who were highly touted and came in and it didn't work out. I don't think that'll be the case with Romeo Langford. I think he'll be more of the, like a, you know, Zeller, the way he produced, or the way that Farrell produced, or the, you know, way some of the recent guys did. But, you know, it's never an absolute.
Let's talk big picture for a second, because, you know, one common reaction that I have seen from Indiana fans, obviously extreme excitement, extreme enthusiasm at Romeo's decision. But then I've had a couple people mention, you know, it kind of feels like we were here when Zeller made his commitment, and then, you know, Indiana got Yogi Ferrell, and Tom Crean had that big run of recruits. And while those first two seasons were obviously very good, it didn't sustain. It didn't last. And you think back to when Eric Gordon came, and that seemed to be, you know, hopefully a turning point. And now Indiana's back. And obviously the first part of that season went well before the bottom completely fell out. What do you think about the way that Archie Miller is going about doing this, both with Romeo and just in the broader sense of, you know, how he's recruiting and the foundation that he's laying for the program gives you confidence that this can be sustained more than what we saw in the aftermath of Cody Zeller's recruitment and in the aftermath of Eric Gordon's recruitment?
That's a great question. And, you know, there are similarities. Zeller was a little bit later in the time process for Crean than Miller was. This is right out of the box that he got him in his very first recruiting class. So that's one difference. I guess I would say is that he put himself out there in his introductory press conference by saying the inside out thing. And it was pretty obvious what he was talking about, that he knew there was a really good class in Indiana in 2018, and he intended to get his share. And I guess his share would be, I mean, Finney and Demezi Anderson, and then most definitely Romeo Langford. And I think he got the three guys that he wanted. I know they offered the kid as Aaron Henry that's going to Michigan State, but he got the three that he wanted. And that, when you put yourself out there and you leave yourself open to criticism, if you don't get those guys and then you get them, you got to say, this guy not only had a plan, he executed his plan. His very first time out. And that's not easy to do in recruiting. And I think the other thing that I like about it, it's different. If you look back at Tom Crean's first staff, that was, I think, Buckley, Seltzer, and then Rashawn McCloud. And we know by looking back then that Rashawn McCloud really wasn't a good fit. He really wasn't on the staff for very long. And then he was replaced. I guess it was McLean that came in. And, you know, there was some turnover on the staff where I get the feeling, and I can't prove it, that there's a little bit better synergy with this group of guys. I mean, he's been with Ostrom for a while and has a tremendous amount of confidence and faith in him. And Schilling has a great reputation and is a good fit at Indiana because he's an Indiana guy who has a lot of credibility, I think, among AAU coaches and high school coaches as a for his coaching skills and his developmental skills. And I think that helps. And Bruiser Flint's a veteran guy who's been around for a long, long time. So I think that's one thing that makes it different than the last time around. But, you know, that being said, we also have to remember that what changed it for Tom Crean, once they lost that game to Syracuse, a certain segment of people, fans turned on them. And I think some recruits or coaches, you know, lost some faith in them because they looked at that game and they questioned the way Indiana played in that game. And I think that was something that he had a hard time overcoming as a coach.
Do you have any sense for what Archie Miller's style is when he talks to recruits? Because when he's talking to the media or just any other, you know, he's obviously a straightforward, serious guy. Do you think from talking maybe to different coaches or just from talking to Archie, do you get the sense that that's how he interacts with recruits as well? And do you think maybe there's some level of appreciation for a person like, you know, knowing Mr. Langford like I do, and I know you've talked to him several times too. It kind of seems like he's got the same approach in terms of, you know, he's not going to go for the, you know, the hard sales pitch. He's going to see right through that type of thing. And do you think maybe that is one thing that helped resonate with the family, just Archie Miller's straightforward approach?
Well, I think what it is we're talking about is, you know, he's genuine or sincere. I mean, he's not a joke teller. He's not a backslapper. He's not trying to always spin the narrative. I mean, we've been around. He's pretty straightforward and blunt when he talks about what he's trying to do. And he was pretty critical of his team at times last year and calling them out in terms of, you know, whether they're being soft or whether they were too easy to embrace coming close or different things like that. And I don't think he's one of those guys that turns that on and turns it off. I think that's pretty much the way that he deals with his guys and, you know, tells them what he thinks for the most part. And that will resonate. Everybody has different things that they respond to. But some guys need to be, you know, puffed up and complimented and stroked. And some guys deal better with the more blunt approach. And I think that, you know, that Archie is kind of true to who he is. I think he's a pretty direct guy, and he's a no nonsense guy. As you know, when you see him out at events, he's friendly, but he's not going to sit there and, you know, shoot the breeze for 10 or 15 minutes because he's there to work or do his things. And that's the way he is. And I think there's some level of respect for that. I mean, he's trying to do it his own way. And I think he also resonates with people because he's, you know, he played the game in the ACC and kind of knows the game as a former player who had to overcome his own physical, his size, his lack of quickness and everything else to succeed. I mean, he wasn't a five-star recruit. He was probably a three-star recruit, but he succeeded anyway because of the work ethic and attention to detail. And so I'm sure he can sell that.
Rick, in terms of yesterday's ceremony and just, you know, just kind of the entire hoopla around the day and Romeo's announcement, I'm curious just what you think of that in terms of the spectacle. Because I know, you know, I live out here in Dallas, and I was trying to explain what was going on to my wife, who's from Texas, and, you know, she didn't really get it. I didn't really expect her to get like, wait a minute, you're doing a special show because a guy's announcing where he's going to college to play basketball. And I was like, yes, technically that's what we're doing, but it's a lot more than that. And I actually realized when I started to explain it to her about, you know, what he meant to the community, all of the things that he had done, you know, and how it was really more of a celebration being shared with the community, and the rest of us were all just kind of piling onto it, it made a lot more sense, and it seemed a lot more reasonable and not quite as outlandish as maybe it might look on the outside. What did you think of, you know, the decision to kind of make such a big deal about it and to have such an open ceremony there for everybody?
That's fine with it. I mean, that's where the culture has moved today. It's what kids do. They do it everywhere. They do it in football. They do it in basketball. And it's just the way it is. And, you know, I think it's you're out of touch if you're going to question it or criticize it. I mean, and I can go back to, I remember in 1972 when Quinn Buckner was Bob Knight's signature recruit who picked Indiana over UCLA and Michigan, that I think I found out about it by reading on it on page, you know, C7 on a paragraph at the bottom of a story in the Chicago Tribune. So, you know, the world has changed and this is the way it is. And I know here at WDRB, we live streamed it yesterday. And I think at one point we had 24,000 people watching that live stream feed, which is mind boggling. So there's an audience for it. It's the way it is now. And I thought, you know, they had his minister there. It wasn't like it was a bunch of silliness. It was, you know, people talking about what kind of kid he was. And then when he got up there, he was pretty no nonsense. He said a few words and put the hat on and that was it.
What do you think next year will be like in Bloomington as Hoosier hysteria starts to approach? I mean, this is a program now. They obviously, you know, had the coaching change last year. There was some excitement there. That was almost immediately deflated by the loss to Indiana State. And then last season wasn't very good. And so now you have a program coming off of two, you know, seasons where they didn't make the NCAA tournament. But now you have this injection of enthusiasm with Romeo's commitment. What do you expect kind of the enthusiasm level of the fans to be as next year approaches? Do you think it's one of those, all is forgiven, we're ready to go, it's 100%? Or do you think that there will still be a lot of people kind of keeping things at arm's length and waiting to see it be proven on the court?
No, I don't think it'll be arm's length at all. I think it'll be hardcore, a big jump from last year. I don't think there was a lot of discussion last year, games about empty seats and empty seats in the balcony and then empty seats in the main area. I think those will be gone for the most part. And I think students will be more engaged. It's not just Romeo, it's the whole recruiting class, which has got some other really good players. It's, you know, it's really a 6-person class. If you include Race Thompson, if Juwan Morgan comes back, then you got a team that will probably show up in several preseason top 25s, I would think. They'd be right down there at the bottom on the fringe of it. And, yeah, you know, there's pent up demand around there for a winning team. And I know that they won the Big Ten regular season championship in, was it 13 and 16? But, you know, we're talking about pent up demand for success in March. And I think people will look at this team and say, you know, this team probably goes have some growing pains early because there's so many young guys, but it should be a formidable team in March. And I think, you know, who was the last top 10 recruit from the state of Indiana they got? Eric Gordon?
Yes.
I guess Gordon. Wasn't. Zeller was 11th, right? And right. Yogi was in the 20s.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I looked it up. I mean, he's the highest rated recruit coming into the Big Ten since Jared Solinger, which I think is
right.
Speaks a little bit more to also the, I mean, this is going to be good for not only Indiana, but the Big Ten at large, because let's face it, when Indiana's good, it's as much as other Big Ten schools don't want to hear it, it's good for the league.
Yeah, you'd think they'd get more TV games, there's more to, you know, better TV games than some of the ones they've had recently. Fewer, I guess, more just Gus Johnson and fewer whoever are not Gus Johnson guys. I don't know. I mean, it's such a topic of conversation that I think there'll definitely be more energy around the program. People want to get tickets and things like that, you know, and that could change if they start out and have a bad loss at home or a couple bad losses at home, then it subsides. But I think people are positioning themselves to embrace it again.
This whole discussion has been focused on Romeo, but I think we all three of us would be in agreement that Romeo and Juwan Morgan are the, you know, assuming Morgan comes back, are the two centerpieces of next year's team. But if Indiana is going to realize its potential, who in your eyes are a couple of guys who are going to have to be standouts on next year's team?
Well, for sure, somebody, a point guard, whether that's Devontae Green or Robert Hennessey. That's been an issue for the last two seasons without Yogi Ferrell when they were really good. He was the best player in the Big Ten. In the last 2 years, they've had below average Big Ten point guard play, and that's not going to work. At college basketball, we've seen over and over and over again that point guard's a critical position. So that's going to be number one. And I think number two would be probably a move forward by Justin Smith, because he showed at times he's capable of doing it. He's a good player around the rim, but he needs to become a better player around the rim, a better finisher, and also develop a little bit of a, you know, 12 to 15 foot shot and some ball handling skills. I mean, he's so athletic that, you know, if you got a two or three guys who can break the defense down and, you know, force guys to help, then you're creating open lanes for other people or mismatches or forcing double teams. And that's how your offense really thrives. If you've got, you know, a couple guys that are really hard to guard and given the defense headaches, and too many times last year, Indiana had, you know, one guy who was hard to guard, and that's tough. And they had nobody who consistently could make perimeter shots, and Romeo should help solve that.
One last question to close, Rick. I'm curious, there was a picture taken, and I don't know who took this picture, but it was right after Romeo's announcement. And it's a picture from behind the media scrum that just descended upon him. And based on the perspective of the picture, I mean, it looks like, you know, the media surrounding him just goes on forever. You know, I think there were 85 credentials there. So, you know, it looked much bigger than it was in person. But when you look at Romeo in the center of it, right to the right of his head is your face, Rick, and right to the left of it is Alex's face. And I just thought it was, and I don't know if you guys have seen this picture. And again, I wish I could credit the photographer, but I don't know who took it. So if you know, please let us know in the comments. But I just thought it was such a great picture because, number one, you know, it just showed, it was such a great microcosm of what Romeo has kind of dealt with. You know, picture certainly captured 1,000 words there. But I also thought it was really interesting for a story that has hit so close to home for both of you, you know, to be right there, left and right, and then Romeo right in the center. I just thought it was a really fitting image for those of us, you know, who have kind of watched Romeo's recruitment and learned so much of it from the eyes of you two, you know, who have followed this so closely in New Albany. So I need to find that picture and send it to you guys because it was a pretty cool moment. And I imagine it had to be a cool moment for you guys covering it together, given that the story hit so close to home.
Yeah, I mean, it really resonated with me last week because I went over to Mount Tabor Elementary School, which is where he went until the fourth grade. And Alex will tell you, I spent a lot of time over at that school in the gym, because not only did he play for Mount Tabor Elementary, but he played in the City League and the games were there. And then when Alex and his sister Maggie were students, I used to go to Mount Tabor like, I don't know, once or twice a month and work in the library, like checking out books and putting books away as a volunteer. And I hadn't really realized, I think I knew last year, but it didn't really set in with me until this year that Romeo had actually gone to Mount Tabor. And to go over there, and there's still a few people left that were there, you know, back in the 90s. But, you know, it's different when it's somebody that, you know, is from where, you know, a school that you really know, a neighborhood that you know, and he becomes, you know, a guy who's on a list with Damon Bailey among the top scorers in all time in Indiana high school history. And, you know, in New Albany's a really good program. That's the first Mr. Basketball they've ever had. That's a big deal. You know, you're from Indiana. You know how big of a deal that is.
Oh, yeah.
That's the list you go on with Oscar Robertson and Steve Alford and on and on and on. Big name George McGinnis, and I can't name them all, but I mean there's a lot of very important names in the history of the state. And you know, I guess the other thing I would say is that, you know, there's always been talk at Indiana about winning with Indiana guys, and I know that Victor Oladipo's a great player, and he's from Maryland, and OG from Missouri, and Jawan's from Missouri, and I think more than most schools, it really does matter to Indiana fans that there's a number of guys on the team from the state of Indiana, and it's because of the respect I think a lot of people have for Indiana high school basketball, and the respect that they have for how many Indiana kids have come before them to play at Indiana. I can go back when I was young and followed IU, the Van Arsdale twins were the first two that I remembered. And I remembered that they played at Indianapolis Manual. They won the Truster Award. They went to the state finals. And you think about those guys and how good they are in high school, and then you can continue to follow them as they're in college. And so I think there's a segment of people that follow IU that getting Romeo, as well as Finnessy and Demezi Anderson, is more significant than it would be whether, you know, if Missouri got three Missouri guys or Maryland got three Maryland guys. It's just different.
Yeah, I would add to that. It's just, I think when you have a chance to follow a kid as a high school player in your state, whether he goes to IU or Purdue, Butler, I mean, those fans at any of those schools, obviously this is a, we talk about IU here, but if you've followed the kid when he was in high school, and then he goes to the school that you root for, the school that you follow, you've already familiar with them, and there's obviously going to be a lot of New Albany fans now who are going to, you know, have a newfound interest in IU that they wouldn't have had if Romeo hadn't have gone there. So I think that's another thing that makes it unique. And the other thing I would add is I'm still trying to get over the embarrassment last night of not standing up during the alma mater when they yeah. played that. Mr. Unruh called me out. So
that's right. You did get called out for that.
Next time I go over to New Albany and they play the alma mater, I'm going to have to make sure I get on my feet for that one. That was quite that was a funny joke from Mr. Unruh.
That was funny. Well, hey, Rick, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate your perspective on this. And I have a feeling we'll be talking about Romeo a lot more here into the offseason, and pleasantly so, since we now know where he's going, and it will be to Bloomington.
Hey, he's going to be down here playing in the Kentucky-Indiana All-Star Exhibition game in New Albany, and then the game, I think, is here at Bellarmine, and there's one in Indianapolis, and that'll be the next time. Finnessy's playing, too, I believe, in Demezi Anderson, so there's plenty to talk about.
Excellent. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. We always appreciate you being here. To get more from me and from Alex, visit assemblycall.com and insidethehall.com for complete coverage of Indiana University basketball. If you liked this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or family member who loves IU basketball as much as you do. You can also support the show by leaving a rating and review on iTunes, which helps us get the word out to more IU fans like yourself. We will be back next week with a new episode. Until then, as always, go Hoosiers.